Giant Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is November 30th, 2017. The world's in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight if you haven't already. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, also live on the net internationally, live on YouTube, and on some FM stations. So pray about supporting airtime. It's not free. In fact, it'll be due tonight at midnight. On another note, let's thank our listener base that is worldwide in places like Munich, Germany, Tokyo, Japan, Amsterdam, you know, the Netherlands, Sydney, Australia, Stockholm, Sweden, and, of course, cities in the good old United States such as Tulsa, Oklahoma, Dallas, Texas, Plano, Texas, Jacksonville, Florida, Town and Country, Florida, Washington, D.C. These are just to name a few. And, of course, Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcasts later tonight. And, you know, it is sad, though, that for being the most listened to for my programs, the Wichita Mission Church is there. You know, I have tried for the whole 18 years to try to get support from Wichita, and not much comes. You know, that's sad. Anyway, dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name we pray. Father, I ask that you bless the country once again. Keep our president safe. Father, please guide him and keep him safe. And I pray for the repentance of this country. And I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not ours. And please, Father, give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth. So please, Father, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, amen and amen. Well, a few weeks ago, we had Steve Henderson on with us. Well, at the end of the program, he'd said something, and I thought he was talking about the little horn, and he wasn't. He pointed it out to me right after radio, and I said, well, you know, Steve, you really need to, well, clarify that, but you need to do a program and just lay out your vision or the way that things are. Anyway, so tonight he's going to speak about the ram and the goat and end-time vision. So tonight, Steve has served the last 30 years as a pastor, evangelist, and equipper in the ministry. In the last several years, he's been called into the area of teaching prophecy. And believe me, that is really tough. His ministry, the Sure Word of Prophecy, has a mission to help believers understand Bible prophecy and prepare them for the return of Yeshua. He's trying to get a good presentation out to the unbelievers, one they can't argue with. And he is trying to teach them about the one who knows the end from the beginning. It is his vision to share the prophetic word of the Bible with scoffers, agnostics, atheists, providing them with the evidence they need to turn them to saving faith in Yeshua, the Messiah. And, you know, this message also, like I keep saying, the church needs to wake up. This message needs to go to the assembly. And you can check out his website at SherwoodProphecy.org. SherwoodProphecy.org. And so now, welcome, Steve. Are you there with me?
My dear brother, Pastor Dan, it's good to talk to you again. How are you doing?
Yeah.
Everything good?
Oh, pretty good. I'm kind of let down because Thanksgiving's over with, but, you know, I think we got, what is it, Hanukkah next, but that's cool, you know. But, yeah, I'm always let down after Thanksgiving because it's such a great time and, you know, people are thankful and in good moods and so. But, yeah, I'm good. And I apologize for misunderstanding you, what, a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, that's quite all right, brother. There's a lot of detail in what we were articulating on in Daniel, and it's easy to get the horns mixed up and the animals, you know, in the different spots, and so that's no problem at all, brother. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to be back on and share probably one of the most important prophecies as far as in our immediate future that there are that I can see. Outside of the stuff that we talked about last time, where it's in your face, the wars and things that are taking place. And, boy, things sure are ramping up, aren't they, brother?
Yeah, amen. And, boy, if a person just looks at Iran and sees that, you know, they helped out getting rid of ISIS, but, you know, there was a cost to that because they wanted to run in and take all the places that ISIS was at, and they seem to be doing that. So, yeah, we're in really an interesting time.
I sure believe that with all my heart, and, man, I think it's high time that the believers began to examine closer the prophecies of Daniel, especially Daniel 8. And what I've discovered is, and I'm quite, you know, I find it quite odd that, frankly, a great majority of the prophecy teachers either stray away from Daniel or they just talk very little about it, you know, and for a good reason, I guess. If you place that in concrete, then after you set it in concrete, you can't move. And I think a lot of prophecy teachers have put it way back yonder somewhere. And I think that the prophecies of Daniel from Daniel 7 to Daniel 12 are a harmonious whole in four different visions that fit together like hand and glove. And and each part has its part into a big picture. And if you only look at a little bit of it, you won't get too much of a comprehensive view. So tonight, brother, we want to discuss the ram and goat as an end-time vision and not something that happened back in Alexander the Great's day. What do you think?
Yeah, I really do, because it's now that we need to look at. For Daniel was for the time of the end, was it not?
Well, you see that all over the visions when you go to each one of the particular visions of Daniel 7, 8, 9, and 10 through 12, you find it leading up to the return of Yeshua and the word called end. And Yeshua spoke of the end, and we got to recognize there will be an end. And when that end comes, hallelujah, a new beginning comes, brother. We're going home.
Yeah.
We're getting out of here.
Yeah,
that's the exciting
amen.
Thing for me.
Well, it's really exciting because, you know, like it says, a woman in travail, but at the end of that travail, something really wonderful happens. There comes a brand new baby, and so that was, it'll be a brand new time.
Yes, hallelujah. No more pain, suffering. I'm tired of baking bricks out in the Egyptian sun. I want to go to the promised land. How about you, brother?
Yeah, I get it. Well, take us into this. I'm excited. I really want to pay. And, folks, I hope you really pay attention. And I pray that Steve gets it all out. But if he doesn't, I think I have the week after next. I think next week is booked. But we'll get him right back on to finish it. So I don't want to put pressure on you, Steve, to try to cram it all in. This is too important of a presentation for you just to try to crunch it and cut corners. So please, take your time and do as you will.
Sure, I appreciate it, brother. Thank you for the opportunity. Well, I'd like to do a comparison for a moment in two of the first visions of Daniel. Just try to set a context for Daniel 8, which we'll get into here in a few moments. But in the last time we talked, there is a great horn in Daniel 8, and there is a little horn, and they're both in the second vision that Daniel writes down in chapter 8. Now, 2 years earlier, as we remember, Daniel had recorded his first vision, and that's in chapter 7. A couple of years later, the prophet receives an enlargement of what he had seen in his first vision. So, whereas the first vision begins with the four winds stirring up the great sea and four beasts coming up out of the sea, the second prophetic revelation in chapter 8 has additional information that ties the two together as one vision. For example, in Daniel 7, there are four beasts, and in Daniel 8, there are four horns. In Daniel 8, the little horn comes up out of one of the four horns, and Daniel 7, the vision goes on further, revealing that it's the fourth beast in which the little horn comes out of. Different descriptions and circumstances, yet the same little horn in both visions. The second vision in Daniel 8 reveals critical details that the first vision in chapter 7 leaves out. In addition, Daniel's first revelation in 7 has details that the second doesn't provide. However, if you put both of these visions together, the vision becomes much clearer. And both visions ultimately lead the reader into the prophetic declarations concerning a sinister activity that the little horn does in both chapters. In fact, when you combine both 9 through 10 and 12, you'll find this little horn power being quite a sinister rebel. And it all leads, his visions lead to this little horn power doing some amazing things on the earth. Now, don't mistake this entity for the great horn or the notable horn. Remember, there's a great horn, and the other is a little horn, and they're not the same character. So the little horn character in Daniel 7 and 8 provide a lot of intelligence, if you will, in regards to his activities and characteristics, which clearly point this to an imposter as one with a very deceptive plan who's going to con the whole world. And as we see later on, brother, this same character is over there in the Mark of the Beast chapter in Revelation 13. In fact, I believe this to be the one who will make fire come down in the sight of men and must lead the whole earth into going along with the beast system and commanding that they should go along with the worldwide lockdown in exchange for peace and security. But nevertheless, both Daniel 7 and 8 are conclusively end-time prophecies. In other words, both prophetic disclosures take the reader to the return of Yeshua. In Daniel 7, the little horn makes war with the saints until the ancient days come, the judgments made for the favor and saints of Most High, and a time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. So we see the little horn power making war until the saints possess the kingdom. And when is that, brother?
That's when Yeshua returns.
Okay, that's the first chapter in Daniel, first vision, Daniel 7. In chapter 8, he's doing the same, basically the same thing, and it says basically the same thing. He destroys the mighty and the holy people, and through his cunningness he will cause deceit to prosper under his rule. He will exalt himself in his heart. He'll destroy many in their prosperity. You know, this is Mark of the Beast language, brother, and afterward he will rise against the prince and princesses, but at the end he will be broken without human means. Now, when do you think that is?
Do you what?
When do you think that is?
When it will be broken?
When he rises against the prince of princes and he's broken without human
means. Oh, right. That's the tribulation.
Absolutely. That is at the end. He himself is going to come down and take out this little horn power himself. And he'll be broken.
Right.
He'll come up against the prince of princes, but at the end he'll be broken without human means. So, and subsequently, the prophet Daniel provides more to the big pictures in chapters 9 and all the way to, you know, chapter 12. And these additional components fit like a hand in glove. Well, Pastor Dan, there's too much to chew on here for this little bit of time, so what do you say we get into what is the beginning event that brings on a little horn to the forefront, the one who will subjugate the whole world under his deceptive plan? I'm going to start with Daniel 8 because I believe chronologically it is Daniel 8 that really begins the calamities that escalate into the coming of Yeshua. And it's a something that starts out with a ram and a goat, and before this little horn shows up on the world scene, a certain event will get notice of the whole world. And what brings on this worldwide panic will cause the whole earth to gasp in fear, and there'll be a war that is started by what the prophet Daniel describes as an obnoxious ram and a maddened, angry goat. So if you allow me, brother, I'm going to just go over the vision and stop up until the time when the little horn shows up in Daniel 8, if you allow me to do that.
Okay, go right ahead.
Okay, the prophet Daniel sees in the third year of Belshazzar, after the first vision of Daniel 7, he sees a ram with two horns, and he's standing beside a certain geographical location called the Kurun River, and he had two horns, and they were long, and the horns were longer, one horn was longer than the other, and the other one came up last, a higher horn, which indicates to me that there'd be one focus on one particular entity, and then another entity would get together with the first, a larger and more powerful nation, and later on we're going to find out who these people are. I watched the ram as it charged toward the west, and the north and the south. Now, evidently, whatever this ram is doing, is standing by this river, and the prophet sees him beginning to charge and take control of area. Is it charged toward the west, the north, and the south? And apparently, no animal could stand against it, and none could rescue from its power. It did as it pleased and became great. So whatever this ram begins to do, it doesn't seem like there's too much that the other countries can do, but just allow it to happen, and through that, it becomes great. And so as he was thinking about this particular ram, then another entity enters into the picture, and suddenly a goat with a prominent or a large horn between its eyes. Now, this is a large horn that I was speaking of, I think, the last time we spoke, brother.
It
tells you where it comes from. It came from the west, crossing the whole earth without touching the ground. Now, I don't have to guess about where this goat comes from, and the focus seems to be, as you continue in the vision, about this great horn, or prominent horn that's between his eyes, and it comes across the surface of the whole earth from the west with a great nation, or a great horn. It came toward the two-horned ram that I had seen standing beside the river, Daniel declares, and it charged at it with great rage. So what happens here is apparently whatever this obnoxious ram is doing, it gets this goat angry to the point where it responds and comes across in great fury or great rage, it says. And so something this ram does eventually brings the attention of this goat, and it comes across the surface of the earth from the air. It's coming out of the air, and it's not on the ground. There's no boots on the ground here, I don't see. And I saw it attack the ram furiously. Now, that still indicates that there's a great anger. It's something this ram does just really, excuse my expression, pisses off the goat from the left and strikes the ram and shatters both its horns. And apparently, the ram was bullying around the and gaining territory and pushing and just doing whatever it wanted to do. But at some point in time, someone much stronger comes in the scene, and as a goat from the west that comes across the surface of the whole earth with a great nation in between his on his forehead, and I'll tell you why I believe that's a nation in here in a minute, and I'll show you in the scripture. The ram was powerless to stand against the goat, and the goat knocked it to the ground and trampled on it, and none could rescue the ram from its power. So evidently, when this goat gets into action, no one can do anything with this goat but just let the goat do his thing against the ram. And at the height of the power, after the goat gets a victory over the ram, then at the height of its power, the large horn was broken off. And in its place, here we get some more horns involved, four prominent or notable horns grew up toward the four winds of heaven. Very evidently, brother, that after this conflict between the goat and the ram, the goat begins to brag and on his strength, and it says he became very great. Apparently, he got a lot of people pretty fearful of him. And all of a sudden, when he became very great, the prophet sees the great horn breaking. And in his place, four horns grew up toward the four winds of heaven, which indicates to me that when this great nation breaks, it is going to affect the four horns, which is going to be affecting all the whole world. And I could see very clearly that if it's who I think it is, when this great horn breaks, it will indeed affect the whole world. And when this prominent horn breaks and the whole world is affected, then it's time for the little horn to show up. And so this is how I see the vision up until verse 8, 9, and 10 of Daniel 8. And it talks about the ram and the goat and the anger that the goat has against the ram because what the ram is doing over in the Middle East. And it's at a geographical location. I do not have to guess where this starts. And it happens right between the rivers of the Tigris and Euphrates. As that tributary goes out into the Persian Gulf, the Shat al-Arab waterway, that river where Daniel sees is right there at the confluence of Iran and Iraq. And that is a very important waterway, by the way, that goes in and out of the Persian Gulf, that where all the oil goes in and out. In fact, right. I'm going to share some news here, hopefully, in a little bit, to show you that there is someone that is a very astute financial elite, and he says we better be very careful about what's taking place with the United States and Iran because they're about ready to get into it, and it is going to really, really affect us financially. That's what he's saying. But I want to get right. I want to keep on track here for a moment. How much time do I get before break, Ron?
You got about just about a minute before we have to announce. You know.
Okay.
Let's talk about your website. Let's not go back into it. You won't have enough time to do anything. You'll just start say something and you'll go back. So, Steve, surewordprophecy.org, but what's over there? Tell the people about it. Take about 30 seconds.
Well, I have I keep everyone informed. I'm one of these guys that kind of keep my eyes on what's going on around the world because I do love Bible prophecy, and I see just way too much that many are so uninformed about. So I want to be one of these guys that help you to understand what's going on around you, because so many are wrapped up, in their own daily affairs. They don't have time to get out and look around. So I kind of help them along. I have some videos, about 10 or 12 prophetic videos on prophecy that I put together that I think would really benefit the prophecy enthusiast. I have a section on Christian tribulation. I have one interesting and relevant, which deals with a lot of the articles which are connected to the trends that are taking place and how we are really seeing some very incredible works of Satan around us that I don't put scriptures to, but we need to be aware of them. Right. Overall, brother, it's a great program for anyone that has a prophecy enthusiast. And, if you need a DVD or a CD, write me, man. I'll get you one for free. I don't charge for anything. So get over there. You really like it.
Well, that sounds great. And, yes, folks, you should go over there and check it out. I really like his videos, but there's a lot of stuff there. And like he says, if you need a DVD or something, let him know. But, folks, we got to go to break. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Body needs clean water to function properly. Pure is the cleanest water, also known as distilled water. Some frauds pushing fake science and ignorant people repeating their disinformation and half-truths will tell you distilled water leaches minerals from the body. What they fail to tell you is distilled water only attracts and flushes inorganic minerals from your body. These are minerals your body cannot process and can interfere with your proper body functions. Distilled water does flush these inorganic materials from your body and is an effective and natural way to cleanse your body. ABR sells a distiller that distills 1 gallon every 3.5 hours. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com, click on the Superstore, go to the distiller, check the pricing and how to order, and watch the video explaining in detail why distilled water is pure water.
Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, first I want to thank everybody that donated for Thanksgiving or prayed for us for that we'd have a good Thanksgiving. It was pretty peaceful. We didn't really have any problems. A lot of folks that I hadn't seen in a while showed up. You know, people that used to be homeless showed up, and some, and of course, homeless and poor people. And it was really nice. People tried to be on their best behavior, and I noticed some people that were wearing their best. You know what I mean? We're wearing their best, even though that says a lot for people that are poor and people that live in the street, but. You know, they came, they had fun, they had a good meal, they had family, and we really enjoyed it. You know, like I was telling Steve earlier, I'm a little bit let down because it's over with. You know, it's a big build up, and then it happens, and you're always like, you know, you exhale afterwards, you know. But it's still, though, I get excited every day to go over there to help the people because, you know, if you could just help one or two, but we help a lot, but I mean, if you could just bring one or two or three or four or 10, the more you bring to salvation, the better, you know, for everybody, so to speak. But I love to serve. Just as my wife says, it's my life. We build our lives, around serving the Lord, Yeshua, and this is what he chose us to do. So I'm comfortable in what we do. We've been doing it for 18 years. But we really do need your support. December always ends up being what lasts for over 4 years, has been the slowest donation month of the year, and we usually don't pull out of it till people start getting their income tax check. Well, I need a couple of things. One thing, if you could wanted to help us out, we need stamps. We want to mail us some stamps. Really do. We're trying to get this newsletter back on track, and we need stamps. But we need everything, as Mom would say. Well, we need everything. We need paper products, plates, everything. We need Bibles. We need food. So pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Really, really pray about it, because we do need your help, especially at this time of the year. And folks, remember, we are responsible to care for one another, as we are our brother's keepers. The Father, so any size donation helps, and the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. And if you don't wish to help with the poor, I'm sure you're listening to radio, so you must be getting something out of it. You know, we don't sell any products or anything. The commercials that you hear are just commercials. That's radio station things. They're not our sponsors. So pray about supporting airtime. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And then now we're back talking about a really important prophecy in the book of Daniel, and we're back with Steve Henderson. Still with us, Steve.
I'm here, Pastor Dan. Well done, good and faithful servant. You keep up the good work. There's no greater work on the earth than to take care of the poor and the afflicted, and I take it as a privilege myself to be involved with that type of work, with a lot of the unfortunate, and you keep up the good work, brother, and the Lord will continue to bless you and provide for you.
Yeah, amen. Thanks. I appreciate it. And it is a heartbreaking work. You know, while there's a lot of ups, there's also, you know, it's really heartbreaking. But anyway, if people don't understand this prophecy and understand what's coming, they are really going to be heartbroken, and hopefully they won't fall away. Back to you.
Well, you know, I see in the book of Revelation, the prophet is told to take a little book and eat it. And it's going to be pretty good until it hits your stomach, and then it becomes bitter. And this little book, I believe, in its context and all, is this book we're speaking about, the book of Daniel. When you begin to discover the truth of Daniel, it's really a great joy to discover Revelation, but when the reality sets in, it becomes a very bitter pill, because what we see is right before our very eyes is this very thing come to pass, and when this conflict begins, it's going to be the game changer, brother, and I'm very, very concerned that we are very, very close to seeing this thing come to pass.
Yeah, amen. I'd like to ask you a question, Steve.
Sure.
I have the book of Revelation, you know. Now, this may seem kind of funny, but I'm saying this for a reason, and it's not necessarily my belief, okay? But, you know, I have people, and I'll just say it like that, people trying to tell me that you have to define the book of Revelation by itself and then determine the Bible according to Revelation. That's just not true, is it?
No, there's a hermeneutical principle called first cause. And wherever you find the first reference to something, then you pay attention to that and then follow it through. And if you do not see the first cause in the book of Daniel, then you will not understand Revelation, brother, because they fit hand in glove. And what Daniel saw 2,000 years before the prophet John saw his, in Daniel 7, for example, you find the four beasts, the head, the lion and bear and leopard, and then over there, Revelation 13 in the Mark of the Beast chapter, you find the same beast, okay, a composite beast over in Revelation 13. And they both fit together. Without one, you don't get a perfect picture. In Daniel 7, you find a time period where the little horn is raining when it comes out of the ten horns. And it rains for a time, times, and a half a time. In Revelation chapter 13, you find the same time period mentioned twice. that 42-month period, which is a synchristic prophecy where they both fit together and they both belong together. So you cannot interpret Revelation, brother, without Daniel. That's my take on it.
Well, absolutely, you're right. I just said it. I mean, it doesn't matter. The person will be listening to this program, so I'm just hoping it goes to their heart. I agree with you. Back to you.
Okay, brother. So we were talking about the belligerent ram and the angry goat. And when the conflict happens, the great horn gets even greater, then all of a sudden the great horn breaks. Now, in Daniel 8 and verse 22, it describes it this way. And the broken horn and the four horns that arose in its place represent four kingdoms which will arise from this nation, although not with his power. So this horn is identified as a nation. Now what we have to try to determine is who would this great horn or this great nation be that comes across the surface of the whole earth from the west in the air and comes down on a couple belligerent countries, which we're going to look at here in just a second. Now, in trying to determine the timing here, brother, I tried to put it together in our first little session, where Daniel 7 and Daniel 8 both take you to the end. And it's very clear that each vision in Daniel takes you to the end. In Daniel chapter 7, it takes you to where the little horn is making wars with the saints until the saints possess the kingdom. In Daniel 8, the little horn is going to fight against the prince of princes, and he will be broken without hand. In Daniel 9, and for the overspreading of abominations, he'll make it desolate, even into the consummation, and that determined will be poured out upon the desolator. And in Daniel 11:45 and 12:1, it says that he will plant, the little horn, will plant his tabernacles between the seas and the glorious holy mountain in Jerusalem. He will come to his end, and none shall help him. And at that time, Michael, the prince for thy people, will stand up, and there will be a time of trouble such as never was. And in Daniel 12, in the last few verses, it gives you three specific time prophecies. You have a 1260, and the question is asked in Daniel 12 and 7, how long will it be to the end of these wonders? And he said, will be for a time, times, and a half a time, when he will accomplish to scatter the power of the holy people, then all these things will be finished. And from the time that the daily is removed and the abomination of desolation set up, will be 1290 days, but blessed is he that waits and comes to day 1335. It takes you to the second coming of Yeshua. And only at the final generation would be able to experience the truth of the matter, because the book of Daniel was sealed until the time of the end. At the time of the end, people would run back and forth in this book, and knowledge is going to increase because we're seeing these very things come to pass before our very eyes. At least that's my take on it. So on the timing of Daniel 8, in the ram and the goat vision, the end time vision, why do I say this? Well, I'll tell you why, and I'll show you right here in Daniel 8 and verse 15 and through to verse 17. Daniel declares, while I, Daniel, was watching the vision and trying to understand it, there before me stood one who looked like a man. I heard a man's voice from the Ulai or the Karun River calling, Gabriel, make this man to understand the meaning of the vision. And as he came near the place where I was standing, I was terrified and fell prostrate. And then Gabriel declared to Daniel, son of man, understand that the vision concerns 330 B.C. No. He says, understand, the vision concerns the time of the end. Now, I don't have to guess at where Gabriel puts this, and I don't have to guess where he puts it again when he talks about it in verse 18 and 19. If it weren't enough information, Gabriel reiterates the timing again in verse 18 and 19, and Daniel declared, now, while he was talking with me, I sank into a deep sleep with my face to the ground, but he touched me and made me stand upright, and he said, behold, I am going to let you know what will occur, listen, at the final period of the indignation or the wrath, for it pertains to the appointed time of the end. He didn't tell us once, but he told us twice when Daniel chapter 8, the ram and goat vision, would happen. Now, when Daniel says it's going to be the end, it means the end. It doesn't mean B.C., as we have put all this. And what I find odd, Pastor Dan, is some of them will talk, they'll blend history in with prophecy, and a great majority of the prophecy teachers put this in the past, and especially Daniel 8, they single out this one among all the visions as something that has been historically fulfilled, and it happened back in the days of the Medes and Persians and Greece. Now, I understand, what better way to seal something up or conceal something than to think and create a repeat and enlargement in history. And that's what I see. I see that there was, in fact, when Belshazzar was having a drunken the party with there in Babylon, and the handwriting came on the wall, and it said, "Your kingdom's going to be taken from you and given to the Medes and Persians." It was that night, that very night, when the kingdom was taken from Babylon. And then in Daniel chapter 5, it talks about, it was at that time, Darius the Mede came and took over the kingdom. Now, so evidently, when Daniel was writing the book, the Babylonian kingdom had it finally collapsed, and Darius the Mede took over, along with Cyrus the Persian. Now, when Gabriel comes to give the interpretation to the prophet of God, he wanted to tell Daniel who the ram was. And here is what he said. "The ram which you saw with the two horns represents the kings of Media and Persian." And let me make a couple of observations, if you let me, brother, here that will bring some clarification to interpret this properly. In the day when Daniel was writing the book, the Medes and Persians had taken over Babylon. Now, Babylon, in its territory, in that area, would have constituted a great part, or the majority of Iraq, if not all of it. And then up to the eastern parts, east of the Caspian Sea, and points westward. When Darius was standing in Mesopotamia, that was Iraq. And so when he was writing the book, Gabriel said, when this happens, this ram will be the kings of the Medes and Persians. Now, Persia, in 1935, the Iranian government requested, they were known as the Persians all the way up to 1935, until the Iranian government requested those countries that it had diplomatic relations with to call Persia Iran, which is the name of the country in Persian. So it was called Persian all the way up to 1935, so we don't have to guess on who Persia is. So when Daniel was writing the book, the Medes had succeeded the Babylonians, which is now the modern-day Iraq, and Persia has always been Iran. So we don't have to guess at who these two countries might be and where they were inhabiting at the time Daniel was writing his book. But when Gabriel takes this and places it at the end of time, then we need to take those territories that constituted that time when Daniel was writing and place them in 2017. In 1989, I began to do that, and I began to pull these prophecies apart. And I said that when you see Iran or Iraq or both in the news, we better start paying attention to these prophecies. Well, I've been following this for a long, long time, brother. And if you're wrong in an interpretation of prophecy, it's going to fade away on you. But what I've been watching through the last couple decades is this thing is growing and growing to the point now. It is seriously alarming me. And what really amazes me is very few people are talking about this. And that's why I guess God has given us a platform on your program, brother, to get the word out, because this is in our face, very serious stuff, and it's taking place before our very eyes. And one more note I might also add is when you see anything related to the prophecies of the Bible, it they are written by prophets of Israel. And they're not just throwing out names and places and stuff that just to be throwing stuff out, but everything that they mention has some connection to an event this transitioning in Israel, in the land of Israel. And when you talk about the king of the north and king of the south, you have to put that in the context of Israel, because ultimately the wars are heading that way until the little horn power shows up in Jerusalem. And it's all heading to Jerusalem. So we need to recognize that when it talks about the Medes and Persians, it would have to have some connection with Israel. And so throughout the years, when I first began to put a big eye on this thing, Saddam Hussein came out and went down to Kuwait, and the same area where Daniel had stood in vision and saw the ambushing is actually where the whole conflict was over that waterway going out in the Persian Gulf, for when whoever could seize that waterway would seize power and control of the Middle East. And that's where the eight-year war was fought between Iran and Iraq. But then, it came to kind of a pact, and they were such bitter enemies. But I saw in the prophecy and determined that if this prophecy is going to come to pass, then Iran and Iraq are going to have to get over their bitter animosity, and they're going to have to get together. Well, right before my eyes, brother, it was after the coalition from the West came and drove Saddam out after he had threatened Israel with chemical weapons, and he was supporting the Palestinians, if they strapped bombs on them and attacked Jerusalem, he was paying them $25,000 apiece. And I was paying real close attention to this. And then when Saddam, who was taken out, and they came back in 2003 and pushed Saddam out and then arrested him, and then he wound up getting executed. Then the vacuum after the United States left Iraq, then Iran swiftly moved in to fill the vacuum. And then through the years, we're watching this alliance grow between Iran and Iraq economically, politically. They put in Shiite leadership in Iraq. Then the next thing you know, here they are, and in the last couple of years, fighting against an enemy called ISIS. And Iran has taken that opportunity to put its clutches in deep in Iraq, not only with the Iran Republican Guard, but in politically and economically and in every facet of diplomacy in Iraq. They are brothers in their war against terrorism. Now, along with that, according to the prophecy, Iran would go and extend its tentacles to westward, northward, and southward. And right before our very eyes, we are seeing Iran spreading their ideology, the Shia ideology, the concept that they have to bring on a calamity in order for the 12th Imam to come, which would be their their savior. You see. And this is something they have planned to do. They are deeply entrenched in Iraq. They are deeply entrenched now. They're building a missile base in Syria, not far from the northern part of Israel. They are in Yemen. In fact, just today's news, the Iranian-backed Houthis just threw another missile into Saudi Arabia. The last time it happened, Saudi Arabia said this is World War III. Now, I'm telling you what, there are some incredible things taking place as we speak in this arena over there between Israel, the West, and Iran, and it's coming. Now, I want to get to just a little bit before we leave out of here, because time really goes by quick when you're trying to get this put together. But the nominal interpretation of this is back in history. They put it back in history, and they've sealed it back in history, and so that's why they never have taken a look at it. They have the Medes and Persians succeeding Babylon, which were the truth. And then they had Greece come and take out the Medes and Persians, which is a truth that happened in history. But what they do is they point to the power from the West that comes across the surface of the earth from the whole earth, from the West, as Alexander the Great. And now, in verse 21, I believe it is, Gabriel says the king, the goat that you saw is the king of Grecia. Now, the original word there in the Hebrew is Yavan. Now, in that day, Yvonne, there was no such thing as the United States. There was no such thing as, you know, they recognized Yvonne as people that inhabited the West out of the sons of Noah. In fact, Yvonne later on was considered the part of the Ionians or the Grecians, but they also had the other sons that inhabited Kittim and Tarshish and the parts of the Mediterranean. So they were known as people of the West from the proximity where Israel was. Now, according to the prophecy, this goat comes across the surface of the whole earth from the West. So it's not very close. The Mediterranean too far from the nation of Israel there. But this goat is coming from a great distance with a great nation. Now, Alexander the Great, when he came and he conquered, and they said, well, you know, he conquered swiftly. But the Bible also says that the rough goat, the horn, is the first king. Now, anyone who knows history knows that if you're going to put prophecy and interpret it with history, then history has to line up with prophecy. And there's some serious problems with imposing history on these prophecies, especially after Gabriel puts it at the end of time. But, you know, we wouldn't know that until at some point in time we'd take a look at it and say, oh, I think I see something different here. But anyway, the first king, which in fact the Hebrew is something different than meaning the electoral literal first number, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 first. The Hebrew word is Rishon, which means first in place, position, or authority. So you have a number one king or kingdom that is identified as this great horn. Now, in their interpretation in history, they say that Alexander was his first king, but if you want to get real technical, who was the first king of Greece? Do you know, brother?
It was
Philip, his father, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Alexander was the second king of Greece, so you can't, that doesn't even fit.
Yeah, that doesn't fit, and it has to all fit. It can't just partially fit.
You can't take and pick and choose what you want, brother. No. You can't do that. So, as I've seen all these holes in their interpretation, I had to go back to the drawing board, because if I'm going to teach this, I want it fitting. 2 + 2 must equal 4, not 3.5. You agree with me, brother?
Oh, you're not into that new math, are you?
No, I keep things simple, stupid. That's what I call myself, stupid.
Better just call it right here, because you only got we're going to have to do this again.
We're already done.
We're already done. In fact, you just got seconds, about 30 seconds to tell your website, and we'll have to go.
Okay, let me say that Yeshua is coming. Maybe sometime here in the near future we can really get in the meat of the matter. I was just getting started.
If you wanted to do, because I had a Stan Johnson of Prophecy Club cancel the first program. I thought, wow, that would have been great to get you on for two programs, because I knew you wouldn't be able to do it all. But we'll just have to wait. So you be blessed, brother. But your website is?
It's SherwoodProphecy.org. Go over there and check things out. I'll keep you informed, brother. Love you, man.
All right. You be blessed. Bye-bye, Steve.
Right.
Okay, folks, that was Steve Henderson, and we'll finish this up. We really will. I promise you that. He's been coming back for about 4 years or so. I don't know. I don't keep track of things like that. It seems like yesterday was the first time I had him on. But everybody likes him, and he is concerned, truthfully. There's the thing. It's about the heart. He's concerned, truthfully, with the time which we're in and warning you folks. But in the meantime, pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church, and we must remember what? Remember, there is only one God, and He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave His life for our repented sins. He rose up from the dead after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through Him, and only through Him, is the way to the Father. Remember, always, always, always do what? Be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Yeshua's return. And we are commanded to do so. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe,
Father, I ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.